We welcome you to the Mormon Channel and our program, Past Impressions. I'm Brent Topp, your host. And with me today on our program are Dr. Max Parkin and Dr. Alex Baugh. Max is a retired institute instructor in the church educational system adjacent to the University of Utah. And Alex is a professor of church history and doctrine at BYU. These two men are probably our two best experts on the history of the church in the Missouri period, and I am so grateful to have both of you with me. So welcome, Dr. Parkin and Dr. Baugh.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good to be with you again, Brent.
In this program, as we talk about the periods of church history and the people, places, events, and some of the key issues, as we now begin talking about the Missouri period, we introduced several episodes back of the Lamanite mission. We talked more specifically about the Lamanite mission, but we could pick up from there about how do the saints get from Kirtland particularly, but what is going on that leads the saints to Missouri?
Well, even before the Lamanite missionaries took their excellent and very disappointing journey out west to the American frontier, the prophet Joseph had a revelation that the New Jerusalem was going to be identified on that frontier. And so when Oliver, Polly Pratt, and the other brethren left New York, they were going out west to look for the site of the New Jerusalem. That was one of the mandates that they received. So it was known before the mission started.
Okay, good.
And I think also, Brent, it's important to note that Joseph Smith had been doing the Joseph Smith translation of the Bible, mm-hmm. had learned a lot about Enoch and his city of Zion, and this permeates Joseph Smith's thought and thinking of, okay, if this is the Latter-day dispensation and we're going to establish a Zion as well. And as Max said, it's pretty much fixed in his mind early, and the early saints that it's on the western boundaries of Missouri.
Okay. The summer of 1831 is a critical time period for this development. What do we know about Joseph Smith's journey to Independence, Missouri, and what goes on during this period of time of summer 1831?
Well, the prophet Joseph, of course, received a revelation that he was to go to Missouri to identify the exact site. Oliver had not actually done so, and Joseph didn't know that because there was little communication between him and Oliver, though some. And so Joseph organized a team of missionaries, 26 missionary companions that would travel two by two from Kirtland, Ohio, now that Joseph has arrived at Kirtland from New York. And they were to take a journey and preach on the way, two by two, in the various villages and towns. And Joseph himself was to travel out there, too. And eventually, the destination being the borders of the Lamanites, or Jackson County, Missouri, which was the western border of Missouri. And once arriving there, they would eventually locate the site for Zion. So he took this magnificent journey as with the brethren, preaching and traveling that summer until they arrived in Independence, Missouri in mid-July 1831.
It took them about a month to get there. They left Kirtland in June 19th. Joseph describes it as a tedious journey. It's getting pretty warm, and as Max said, they arrive about the 15th, middle of June, or July, excuse me. And so Joseph has had some time there. He surveys the area, and a marvelous revelation comes on July 20th, and and obviously, Joseph's thinking about, okay, where is the temple site? And this is taken from DNC section 57, verses 1 through 3 is the reference. But basically, the revelation states, if you will receive wisdom, here is wisdom. Behold, the place which is now called Independence is the center place, and a spot for the temple is lying westward upon a lot which is not far from the courthouse. So Joseph knows where the courthouse is. He can see it. It's one of the early courthouses there in Jackson County. And now he knows it's not far from that location.
And so as that identification and the revelations being received, when do we really start getting the information about the saints need to be gathering there?
Well, that came actually rather quickly. As soon as this revelation was given that Dr. Baugh quotes, the prophet Joseph received another revelation identifying the brethren that were to remain in independence.
From those preliminary groups that had come out.
That's right, from those that had come out, and they were to gather their families from Kirtland or wherever they lived around Kirtland and to establish themselves in independence. We might name those key figures right now because they're mentioned in the Revelations. One, of course, was Bishop Edward Partridge from Painesville, Ohio, and he was to be the bishop in Zion. And there was W.W. Phelps, who was to be the editor of the church press there. Oliver Cowdery, who was a very key figure in the church in the East, was also to be stationed here in Independence to assist in the press, John Whitmer and others. Another key figure that was there was Newell K. Whitney's partner in business in Kirtland in the N.K. Whitney store. And that partner, of course, was Sidney Gilbert. And he was assigned to establish a store in Independence. And so these are the brethren that will remain in Independence and direct the affairs of the church, hopefully to buy land and to eventually build the temple in Independence.
Okay.
I think we should say, too, that there was an expectation of many saints that since this is the location of Zion, yeah, you may gather to Kirtland, but our hope and intent is to establish a main body or community of Mormons in Independence. So there's going to be a real push to bring the encourage the saints to come down there.
You're listening to Past Impressions on the Mormon Channel. Today we're talking about the gathering to Zion or the beginning of the establishment of the church in Missouri. And with me are our guests, Dr. Max Parkin, retired institute teacher from the University of Utah, and Professor Alex Baugh from Church History and Doctrine at Brigham Young University. Well, brethren, we talked about those earliest revelations, the early missionaries, and getting to Missouri. Let's talk about after the identification of the temple site and the center place of Zion. Let's talk in detail of some of those great events associated with that August 1831 dedication and the great laying the foundation or the cornerstone, if you will.
I think there were three dates we need to look at. The first one is August 2nd. They actually did a formal dedication of the actual location of Zion. Mm-hmm. We're sure this took place at a man by the name of Joshua Lewis's home out in Kaw Township. Sidney Rigdon did the dedication. Joshua Lewis was an early Mormon convert and had property there. And so the brethren gathered there on August 2nd and symbolically laid a log for the schoolhouse in Zion. And so that's the August 2nd dedication of Zion. And then August 3rd is the one we like to focus on because that was the actual date of the dedication of the temple site by Joseph Smith, which by that time he had positively identified.
That's right. The temple lot just a half a mile west, actually, and that's significant, a half a mile west of the courthouse in Independence. And they stood on a portion of that land. They didn't own it yet. They won't acquire the land, actually, until later in the year. It was owned by a man named Jones Flournoy, or would be owned by Jones Flournoy. It was still public land at this time. They stood on it and dedicated the temple lot. The Prophet Joseph also had a stone marked with S-E-C-T on the stone, indicating southeast corner temple. At least that's the interpretation, because that stone was actually excavated by the Hedrickite Church when they were about to build their temple, which they didn't finish because of the Great Depression. But they excavated the stone and one other one as well, and so they have that in their museum on the temple lot to identify the site where the temple was marked. And they greatly cherished that occasion. They also marked a tree to indicate the location and maybe even possession of the land. But it was a very, very important stepping stone in the development in Missouri.
How many people do we were participating in these events or these ceremonies at that time?
That's a little bit problematic. I've put together all of the firsthand narratives of that event, and I can get up to 11. Mm-hmm. Joseph only mentions 7 or 8. He wrote or had recorded in his history, on the 3rd day of August, I proceeded to dedicate the spot for the temple a little west of Independence, and there were also present Sidney Rigdon, Edward Partridge, W.W. Phelps, Oliver Cowdery, Martin Harris, and Joseph Coe. So that's kind of the standard list we've gone by. But there were probably others. And again, this was very meaningful to them to actually be participants.
So though it was a solemn event to them and very significant spiritually, it's really quite unnoticed as far as a collection of people. They're just really a small handful of people around this property there.
Right. Some of the elders had not arrived yet, and the Colesville branch certainly had arrived by that time. But perhaps Joseph was a little bit selective,
yeah,
and just said, hey, here's who's going. Come on over, and he maybe invited a few and went from there. So I think it's interesting. In 1835, Joseph Smith wrote reflectively about that event and kind of commented a little more in detail about his feelings about it. He said, again, this is from the Latter-day Saints Messenger and Advocate. He said, having received by a heavenly vision a commandment in June following, that's the DNC Section 52, to take my journey to the western boundaries of the state of Missouri and there designate the very spot which was to be the central spot for the commencement of the gathering together of those who embrace the fullness of the everlasting gospel. I accordingly undertook the journey with certain ones of my brethren, and after a long and tedious journey, suffering many privations and hardships, I arrived in Jackson County, Missouri, and after viewing the country, seeking diligently at the hand of God, he manifested unto me and designated to me and others the very spot upon which he designated to commence the work of the gathering.
Hmm, interesting.
So he thought that was pretty significant.
Oh, yeah.
Alex is right when he indicates that the Prophet Joseph's list was perhaps not complete. Let me just identify one other person that was also there that is identified by John Whitmer. John will be the second historian of the church and keeps a record of this period. Though John was not there, he does note that Dr. Frederick G. Williams was also present at the time of the dedication of the temple lot. And I make a note of his presence because when the Lamanite missionaries had left New York back in the fall of 1830, they arrived at Kirtland and revisited some old acquaintances there and converted a goodly number of people. One of those families that was converted was Dr. Frederick G. Williams, and he was so zealous with their assignment to go out to the Indian lands and preach the gospel to those folks that he wanted to join them and then did. And so we have the four original missionaries plus Frederick G. Williams, and he told his wife that he'd be gone about 3 weeks. Well, he's going to be gone about 8 months, mm-hmm. and he's still in Independence when the Prophet Joseph arrived, and he was on the site, according to John Whitmer, as well as these others named by the Prophet Joseph.
That's a wonderful link to that earliest excursion to Missouri. Well, tell us what other events took place in August. There was after the organization or the dedication of the temple lot, and anything else that take place on that August 1831 event.
The following day, August 4th. They held the conference, which they were commanded to hold by revelation. And that was held, again, back out in the Joshua Lewis property. Mm-hmm. And then Joseph received several revelations instructing the saints how to establish Zion, sections 58, 59. And then section 60 was given to direct them how to return home. Mm-hmm. And so they need to make their way back. But the other instruction that was clear to them was that they needed to now purchase the land in Jackson County, which Edward Partridge and Sidney Gilbert play a major role in.
And so at that conference on August 4th, that's where the Colesville Saints would have been involved in as well?
Yes, they were there.
And so the great story of Pauli Knight and all of the Knight clan and all those that came with them, they're involved in this conference as well.
They came about the 25th of July, I believe, and there was about 70 in that company. Unfortunately, Pauli just barely made it.
Exactly.
And dies, I believe, August 6th or 7th.
It's interesting to note they were also there on the August 2nd dedication of Zion at Joshua Lewis's property and helped to carry that symbolic tree
log
to dedicate the land.
Oh, that's wonderful. So that really opens the door then for the what we would call the Mormon settlements associated with the establishing of Zion.
But let me add one more, I think, important idea. Back in Kirtland, before the prophet Joseph arrived in Missouri, he had received a revelation to answer the very, very significant question, how are you going to finance Zion? How are you going to pay for or underwrite this magnificent task of building a city of God in Missouri? And the answer to that was, of course, the principle of consecration and stewardship. So consequently, when Joseph was in Missouri, Bishop Partridge was appointed to gather funds from the saints who had arrived there to consecrate their little assets. And before the prophet Joseph left, Bishop Partridge began to purchase land in Jackson County and in the village of Independence as well. And so when the prophet Joseph left Independence to go back to Kirtland, they had already begun to acquire property for the settlement of the saints in Jackson County.
You're listening to Past Impressions on the Mormon Channel, and we're talking today with Dr. Alex Baugh and Dr. Max Parkin about the gathering of the saints to Missouri and some of the great events in the history of the church in Missouri. During that period of time, from 1831 to 1833, we have an enormous influx of Latter-day Saints. Where we had, you said, 11 at the dedication of the temple lot or thereabouts, and 70-plus at the conferences. Well, we get to a point of about 1,200 pretty quickly. Why don't you tell us about what's going on there in the settlements in Jackson County and the numbers of saints that are arriving?
There is a very important principle taught in the church. Even in the New York period, this principle was taught to gather the saints from New York to Kirtland, Ohio. And that doctrine or principle that was so importantly conveyed to the saints was the doctrine of gathering. And in those days, it was perhaps the fourth or fifth most important doctrine in the church. Consequently, after Zion was identified, being Jackson County, Missouri, the doctrine of gathering was thrust forward as an important principle to given to the saints and to abide by. And consequently, because of that emphasis on gathering, the place to gather now is Jackson County, Missouri. So Latter-day Saints, wherever they were in the East, in New York or Kentucky or Indiana or in Kirtland, Ohio, were invited and encouraged to gather now to Zion. And the instructions given to them, however, were to gather prepared. They were to have resources. They were to have in a sense, a bank account. They were to sell their mills or their stores or their shops or their farms in the East and gather to Zion with resources so that through consecration they could give the funds of surplus to Bishop Partridge by which he would buy land and by which they would eventually develop Zion, the New Jerusalem in Jackson County, Missouri. Without those funds, they could not do it.
That's right.
Unfortunately, some of the saints were so zealous in the East, they gathered without proper resources. The principle given to the saints at that time from Revelation was they were to gather prepared, and they sometimes didn't do so because of their zeal. However, to help them prepare and to gather with proper resources, they were to see their presiding elder in their branch in wherever they lived, and get a recommend. And that's the beginning of recommends in the church, to get a recommend to gather to Zion with proper resources and so forth. And some of those folks, because of their great faith and their zeal, did not get the recommend and gathered without funds.
They just wanted to get to the New Jerusalem, I guess. So,
through Bishop Partridge and his agent, Sidney Gilbert, the church was successful in acquiring, I think we can say, a considerable amount of real estate. Over those next 2 years, basically again 1831 to 33. Most of this land acquisition was in what we call Kaw Township. However, there were some properties purchased in and around Independence. But during this basically 3-year period, the Mormons acquired almost 2,200 acres. Now, 640 acres is a square mile. Mm-hmm. That's over three square miles of land. And then, of course, we would have leaders established in each of those settlement communities. Maybe we could talk about those five settlements, Max. Do you want to Sure. Do you want to mention that?
Yes, of course. There were five settlements, one in Independence and then four west of Independence in Kaw Township. Going from east to west, the first one would be the Whitmer Settlement. Actually, the first one is the Blue Settlement, where Orrin Porter Rockwell's father owned a ferry to cross the Blue River, and they built a settlement around that. We owned land there as well. Just west of that, about 2 miles, was the Whitmer Settlement, where the Whitmer clan gathered with all their sons and daughters and families and many, many others. That was the largest settlement, and that was in the forested area. And then south of them, about 2 miles, was the Colesville Settlement, which was on the edge of the prairie. And then west of that, right on the border, was the Prairie Settlement, called the Prairie Settlement, where Lyman White and others gathered. So we have these four settlements out in Kaw Township, which are currently today all part of Kansas City, Missouri. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we have a settlement in and around Independence, making the five settlements.
Now, how many people would have been in Independence or in that area prior to the coming of the Mormons? I mean, if you have an influx of 1,300 or more people coming into the area, what would have been the population of those of that area before the Mormons arrived?
Well, we have there's the 1830 census, and there's approximately 2,000.
Okay.
I think maybe a little bit more. So the Mormons are coming in as kind of outsiders here. And certainly the influx of the Mormon people is going to raise some eyebrows among them.
An increase by a third just almost
within 3 years. We're about 3,200, 3,300, we estimate. Unfortunately, of course, we don't have the hard numbers, but certainly those that really caused some concern among the locals. Now, they're scattered throughout the entire county.
Right. So it's not quite as conspicuous, I guess you would say, as if they're all right around the temple lot or something.
But the church leadership clearly was centered in the Independence area with Partridge. His two counselors, Isaac Morley and John Coral, they actually purchased the temple site, as Max mentioned, and set up homes there and a school. Phelps will operate the Evening and Morning Star in Independence. So still Independence was the center of the Mormon communities there.
You're listening to Past Impressions on the Mormon Channel. I'm Brent Topp, your host, the chair of Department of Church History and Doctrine at Brigham Young University. And with me, my guests are Dr. Max Parkin, retired institute instructor adjacent to the University of Utah, and Dr. Alex Baugh, professor of church history and doctrine at BYU. We've been talking about the events of the Saints Gathering in Jackson County, Missouri. Why don't we talk about the central focus of that gathering? It seemed to be the temple. What role does the temple play, and what do we know about the plans for a temple in Jackson County, Missouri?
Well, interestingly, we know a good deal about the plans and their motive and their interest in the temple or temples. After the Prophet Joseph Smith received his revelation identifying the temple site in July of 1831, the Prophet, of course, returned to Kirtland to manage the affairs of the church from its headquarters. The next year, 1832, he received another revelation about the temple, and this revelation is a significant one in the sense that it informs the leaders in Missouri that they are to focus on the building of the temple and get it built in this generation. That was the instructions, for it would be there in this generation so built. It was another year. It was in June of 1833 when they began building the temple in Kirtland. And that temple, of course, focused not only upon that building, but also upon the building of the temple in Zion again. I'm going to let Dr. Baugh comment on that, and then I'll return to further additional comments about the temple.
Yeah, Joseph Smith received, and the first presidency received a vision in early June of 1833 of the appearance and general layout and design and architecture of the Kirtland Temple. With that understanding, obviously now Joseph's thinking, okay, how is this going to apply to the saints in Missouri? And so he, under his direction, organizes and lays out a plan or design of the Jackson County Temple and sends that down to the saints in Missouri. It's dated June 25th, 1833. And not surprising, this temple looks very, very similar to the Kirtland design and layout of two levels, two basic levels, congregational for the bottom floor, the upper floor being the for the school of the prophets and so on. So what Max was saying is true. You see Joseph Smith tying the vision and understanding he has of the Kirtland Temple with what he anticipates will be the design and size and so on of the temple in Zion. What is interesting, though, is at that point in time, he also includes a plat map showing that now he's expanded this idea of temple to 24 temples and then indicates on the plat map that temple number 5, which is located in one of the center pieces, center places there of the city of Zion, was to be the first temple they were to construct. It was a house for the presidency. So by June, Joseph has in his mind multiple temples. This is June of 1833, multiple temples. But in the meantime, let's just begin with one, construction of one of those multiple temples.
That's right. This June package that Joseph sent to Bishop Partridge and other leaders in Missouri identifies the New Jerusalem and its plan with the 24 temples and also instructions about it. However, in August, the prophet Joseph sent another package of instructions about the temple. This second or August package included a map of the city of Zion, but a much larger city. The first one was a mile square. This one was 2 miles square or approximately. And also more information about the temple. This package contained blueprints or designs of the new temple. And it was also much larger than in the June package. Consequently, the brethren had larger aspirations and bigger hopes. And Alex is right when he indicates that we're now beginning to name these early temples, because in Kirtland in June of 1833, the prophet Joseph knew that they would build not only one temple in Kirtland, but also three temples. Now, they called the temples by different names. They called them houses of the Lord or houses. And these three temples in Kirtland were to be first the schoolhouse or a general purpose building for meetings and primarily for schools. And we established the Kirtland High School and the Kirtland Elementary School and the Elders School and other schools in that Kirtland Temple. It was a schoolhouse, essentially, with the upper floor being the kind of the office floor. And then the revelation indicated the next temple to it in Kirtland was to be the House of the Presidency, and the one next to it was to be the Printing House. So consequently, in the August package, which Joseph sent to Partridge and others in Zion, he informed them there that they would also build three temples first among the 24. And those three temples would be, first, a multi-purpose building for schools and so on, and then secondly, a church administration building for the presidency, and then thirdly, the press. They would have two presses, one in Kirtland and one in Zion as well. So get those three temples built. The first one, do it quickly, and then once you've completed that one, build the other two temples also, because they're in great need.
So the pattern in Kirtland was juxtaposed on Missouri. And so it went from one temple by June of 1833 to three temples or three houses by August of 1833.
Now, why does the Lord get after the saints for
their slowness in fulfilling that. What's going on that slows down the process of the building of this temple complex?
The one in Zion, of course, the main thing that caused the skids was resources. The saints gathered with their zeal and their interest in Zion, but often they gathered without resources, and that just gave Bishop Partridge great concern because of lack of funds. And he was hardly able to buy enough land for the gathering saints, let alone start a construction on a magnificent building, which was to be 1.5 times the size of the Kirtland Temple. And that was a challenging thing for him.
Yeah. It's been wonderful today as we talk about the laying the foundation of Zion in Jackson County, Missouri. In our next episode, we're going to talk about the problems that rose that prevented the fulfillment of those aspirations and dreams. You've been listening to Dr. Max Parkin and Dr. Alex Baugh on Past Impressions, and we will continue talking about Missouri in our next episode. Thank you, brethren, for this wonderful discussion, this preliminary discussion on Jackson County, Missouri.